Welcome to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Please join us today as Pastor Jeffrey Campbell leads us in an in-depth study in the book of Jonah. Today's scripture is Jonah chapter 2, and the sermon is entitled, From the Inside Out.
There's a lot packed in this little book, 48 verses, and I hope that God's teaching you something. I can't speak for you, but He's teaching me something, okay? I want you to know that. And so tonight, we're going to title this message, From the Inside Out. From the inside out. And your mind may race to the inside of that big fish. That's where we're going to be at tonight. And even God can work on the inside of a big fish if that's where He has you. But here is the truth. God's not only working inside that big fish in Jonah's life. God is working inside of Jonah. And so this story, this chapter number 2, I believe will lead us into some truths of what we need to learn as we study the big picture, a battle of our will versus the battle of God's will, and how we wrestle with that, how we too can wrestle with that, but how when we surrender, all that has to start on the inside of every one of us. And so tonight you're going to get, I think it's 4 points as we talk about it. But chapter number 2 of Jonah, I want you to picture with me 2 trees. One of them, the first being a Christmas tree. I don't know, maybe you do that in your home, maybe you don't, but in my home, even right now, I'll tell you there is a Christmas tree up in my home. Somebody donated it to us. It is decorated with pink for cancer awareness. Somebody bought that at a fundraiser, brought it to my house and set it up when we weren't there, and it still stays as Terry fights this journey. I walk by that tree every day, just as a reminder of God's faithfulness. But a Christmas tree in your home, just think of that. It brings so much joy and beauty to our homes just for a season. You put it up, you decorate it with lights and ornaments that are special to you and your family. If you're like me, we have graduated to the artificial version. Some of you may still do a real tree. God bless you. I don't like all those needles when they fall out, but I do like the smell of them, though. That's really nice. But there's no life in that tree of mine. It looks beautiful on the outside. It's decorated beautiful, but on the inside of that Christmas tree, there is no life. Now picture your favorite fruit tree. I don't know what your favorite fruit tree. My favorite fruit is a peach. I love a peach. And so when I picture that fruit tree, sometimes in the springtime when those blooms come out, they're beautiful. But they quickly fade away. And for a little bit of time, that peach tree loses its beauty. But deep down inside, in the roots, and that tree is alive and it is working and it is producing fruit. And so those 2 trees tonight, as we think about this lesson, that fruit tree is real, it is alive, it will bear fruit. And my prayer tonight is this, we resemble the fruit tree, that God is working on the inside of us, changing and producing the fruits of the Spirit of God. And sometimes those take a little bit before they are seen and they are a blessing to others. But God is at work on the inside. And that is my prayer tonight. My prayer comes from Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That is my prayer. And so tonight, as we gather on the heels of ending chapter number 1. God has appointed the big fish to swallow up a disobedient Jonah. And the end of chapter number 1 says that Jonah has been in the belly of that big fish 3 days and 3 nights. Chapter number 2 will open up and we will see that we're inside of the belly of that big fish. But tonight, in this book, the fish is mentioned 3 times. In 3 verses out of the 48, the fish is mentioned. Okay? If you go to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, Jesus mentions Jonah and the whale. That's where we get the whale from. Okay? So in the book, the fish is mentioned 4 times. And we try to make this story about a big fish swallowing a man. And that's just a piece of the story. Okay? Don't set your hopes up on a fish swallowing somebody and then them living to tell about it. By the miracles of God, that may only happen a handful of times throughout the centuries. But here is the reality. We will see a miracle tonight. As we look at the fish that God appointed, here's my question as we begin tonight. The fish has swallowed Jonah. Is it for his punishment or is it for his good? Think about it. Don't answer out loud. If you think it is punishment, I'm going to disagree with you. I think it's for his good. I think that fish is for Jonah's good. As chapter 2 gives us a glimpse inside, 3 days and three nights Jonah would spend in there. It gives us the picture of the good that Jesus spent. 3 days in that tomb, dead. That was good. It was good for humanity. It was good for our salvation. And as that fish swallowed him, let me tell you this. He should have been dead. Because here's why. As we seen last week, he wanted to die. He asked to die. He asked the sailors to throw him overboard. He expected to die. When he went overboard, he didn't say, okay, I think I can swim back to shore. Absolutely not. That was not his intentions. He expected to die. And then a fish swallows him. Here's the reality. Jonah should have been dead. But out of the mercy of an almighty God, that big fish comes along to save his life. From the inside out, God wants to work in your life too. Not through a big fish, but through his love and grace and mercy for you. Just like Jonah. Chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Point number 1 tonight, as we think about from the inside out, changing from the inside out, is this. There is a time and a point of prayer. A point of prayer. There comes a time that Jonah needs to change. And how many of you understand, how many of you know that that change starts on the inside, but that change starts with a conversation between someone and God, you and God, Jonah and God. And I don't think this conversation tonight is just because he's in the belly of a big fish. We are reading a miracle tonight. I want you to understand that. After 3 days and three nights, and I'm going to be honest with you, I believe chapter number 2 is inside the well, but he's going to describe some things that could have happened outside of that well before he was swallowed. But here is the reality. 3 days, three nights, Jonah is alive. He can talk to the Lord. That's a miracle. A miracle in and of itself. I'm not going to debate that. If that could ever possibly happen, yes, it could. It has happened before. But we're not going to get into that tonight. But here is the reality. How did he spend those 3 days and nights? I don't know. My little childhood memory has Jonah prancing around on that whale's tongue just trying to get out some way. That's how my childhood mind thought of Jonah and the whale. Now, my 42-year-old mind sits here and wonders, what in the world did he do for 3 days and three nights? I have no evidence, and I can't give you what he did. Was he sulking? Jonah has sulked all this chapter so far. Is he still that? And he will continue to sulk. He has that kind of spirit. Was he sulking in that? In the belly of that big fish. Was he on death's bed and unresponsive? I don't know. Was he praying 3 days? I have no idea. But what I do know is in chapter number one, here's what we understand, or chapter number two, verse number one, here's what we understand. Jonah prayed unto the Lord. So at some point, he realizes, I need to talk to God. And what we also know from this verse is God will hear Jonah's prayer. God will hear the prayer, Jonah will pray. And it's amazing that even from the belly of a whale, that Jonah knows that God will hear him. And so as we see verses 1 and 2 tonight of chapter number 2, we know that Jonah is in the moments of suffering, and he says this, God heard me. Look at verse number 2. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell or Sheol, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I cried from the pit, and you heard me. This is not saying that someone can talk to God from hell. I want to make that clear. Hell is a place of everlasting punishment. Once you go there, there's no getting out. Jonah's not saying, I'm in hell. What he is saying is that word Sheol that is used there is he's saying, I am in the grave. I am near death. That is the translation here. I'm in the belly of a hell and my grave, and out of even that dark, desperate place, verse number 2 tells us this, God heard him. God heard him. So as Jonah is saying, I'm going to die, and I'm as far as God as I can get, and even as far as I am from God, he heard me. He heard me even from the depths in which I am. If you read through your book of Psalms, there are many scriptures throughout that book that people cry from the depths and the distress and near death, and God hears the prayers of his people. Read some of David's prayers in the book of Psalm. It's amazing where he is and how God hears him. So tonight, do you have the assurance, the peace to know that God hears your prayer? As a believer, listen to me, as a believer, you need to understand and you need to know that every time you talk to God as a believer, he hears you. Not to believe that he doesn't is saying that you don't believe in God. So when you pray, God hears you. Now, here's the reality. God may not answer you. He may not answer you when he wants or how you want it, but God hears your prayer. Jonah didn't pray before he set sail on the ship. Jonah didn't pray before his nap. He didn't pray in the storm. He didn't pray when the sailors asked him to. I'm not sure he prayed before he got tossed overboard. But now he cannot go any further besides death. Death is his next step. And in that moment, he prays. And here's the reality of what God is saying. Sometimes in the depths, they are needed to get your attention to know that God is still in control. I'm looking around the room tonight, and I don't know your situation, but I can tell you, those depths are hard, but God has not and will never forsake his people. Even from the depths in the belly of a dark, dingy whale, big fish, God hears this man's cry. Tonight, if you think I'm in such a bad situation, I am so bad. I am so far. I am so down. Things are so bad. Here's what I want to remind you. Keep on praying. Because the change from the inside out starts when you and God are in conversation with one another. Never stop praying. Look at verses 3 through 6. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed about me, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed about me, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. So you've seen a point of prayer, and then there's a point of reflection. As Jonah, still in the belly at this point, describes what he feels, but what also he knows. He is reflecting on how good God is, and listen to me, how wrong he has been. Before any turn, before any change can happen, before forgiveness can take place, sometimes you got to say, I messed this up. That's true in your earthly relationships, and it's true in your Heavenly Father relationship with your Heavenly Father. I am wrong. I messed up. We don't like to say those words. Jeffrey does not like to admit that he messed up. But those words are necessary. As we think about this verse, verse number 3, what stands out in verse number 3 of chapter number 2 to you? Jonah says this. Here's what stands out to me. I'm in the heart of the storm. I'm in the middle of this sea, large surges of wind and water and waves are crashing over me. I am alive. And here's what he says in verse number 3. As he says, thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. All of this is happening. All this is going. The first part of verse number 3. For thou had cast me into the deep. Who threw Jonah into the sea? We could argue tonight that he threw himself because he asked to go. Right? We could argue that the sailors were the ones. They were the ones that picked him up and threw him overboard. But remember, the sailors said, God, let us not be responsible for his death. They knew he was going to die. But here is the reality. In Jonah's prayer, he says, God, you cast me into the deep. I might submit to you tonight, if Jonah stayed on the boat, things may have been worse off for him. It may have been worse. We don't know the ending of that story. But here's what he recognized. God, your hand was in that provisionally as I went overboard and as I began to sink down through that water and the waves crashed and the water gathered and the wind was still there and my life was sinking. So the first thing you need to see from verse number 3 is this. Jonah realizes this. I'm never out of your hand, God. Even in my own stupid, selfish ways, I'm never out of your hand because you were the one that threw me overboard. There's something else you've got to see from these verses. Look at verse number 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Look at verse number 5. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. No, thank you. I'm not claustrophobic, but the older I get, don't hold me down. okay? Don't let me feel trapped in seaweed of all things. Good night. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all been in the ocean before. The second thing I want you to see from these verses is this. As he feels like as he is falling, I want you to see in verses 4 and 5 how he feels death is closing in. If you read those two verses, you will see that death is closing in. The water is compassing around him, even to his soul. He feels like, I am about to die. The water will take my life. The depths that he has fallen into the unknown areas of this sea. It's so deep. It is dark, and there is so much unknown. Y'all watch those shows of what's in the bottom of the ocean, right? Those things that have mouths and, yeah. Y'all go on out diving if y'all want to. I'm good with that. But here's what he realizes. As he's in the darkness of this sea, surrounded by the unknown, the weeds begin to wrap around his head from this storm-tossed sea and being swallowed by this whale. He looks, I feel like I'm out of God's sight. But look at verse number 4 again. He said, I am cast out of thy sight. The second thing you need to realize is this. The child of God is never out of the sight of God. You're never out of his hand, and you're never out of his sight. There's a third thing. And that is this. God can deliver you from the pit. Jonah starts by saying, I went down as low as I can get. And as he is going down, you see him in verse number 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountain, the earth with her bars about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption or from the pit. That is the translation there. You brought me up. And look how he ends verse number 6. O Lord my God. I don't know what you know about the pit, but I want you to hear what David writes from the pit in Psalm 40. Here's what he writes about the pit. Some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Listen to these. Psalm 40 verses, so I'm going to start with verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Listen to this. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Reality, just in your Old Testament, just off the top of my head, Joseph was in a pit. David was in a pit. Jonah in a pit. And here's the reality. God delivered them all from that pit that they thought that they would be killed. When we think about a point of reflection, we've got to look at where we are and what we've been through, what God has faithfully done, but also what we have done wrong as well. Before a change can take place, you've got to say, okay, God, I messed this up. Point number 3. Look at verse 7 through 9. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Point number 3 tonight, and what we look at is this. There is a point of turning. A point of turning. So you have a point of prayer, you have a point of reflection, and now you have a point of turning. Jonah has recognized how far he has fallen from God, and in verse number 7, he recognizes how close death is. and his mind goes to spiritual things. I want you to know that in my profession, I see that more than just in Jonah's life. When those days are numbered, when you feel like your days are numbered, guess who gets called in? The preacher man. Because people start to think about spiritual things. Here's what I want to challenge you, church. Don't wait to death to think about spiritual things. In this point, as death is closing in, he realizes, I need to pray, I need to turn to the Lord. And it's amazing what God will use to make you make that turn. Remember, God just started by saying, go to Nineveh. That didn't work. God used a storm. That didn't even wake up Jonah. He used sailors to wake him up and question him, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? No effect. And nail the big fish. That big fish, as he has been swallowed by it, I want to say that if he had been thrown overboard and there hadn't been a storm to wreak havoc and he wouldn't have been swallowed by a fish, he may have never come to this moment and say, okay, God, here I am, I'm turning to you. So sometimes you sit here and question the things that you're going through, things that are happening in life, and we often, even as Christians, want to know the big question, why? Well, here's the reality. You may never get that answer. You've got to have faith. You've got to trust the Lord through whatever is coming your way. And know this, God uses every situation and every circumstance to put your eyes on him. And that's exactly what he did. Personally, I believe Jonah is a saved, what we would call a saved, faithful man. But just like the prodigal, he has to come to that moment of surrender and turn and go back to the Lord and turn to the Father. Look at verse number 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. I'm going to translate that out of the King James to the Amherst County language, maybe. And here's what Jonah's saying. You hold on to worthless things. You hold on to these idols and you forsake or you turn away from God's love. Jonah is realizing he has forsaken God's love for the worthless things, the pride, his will, control over his own life. That's what Jonah realizes. These are all worthless. And then in verse number 9, he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah praises God from where he is. I want you to see that. There's a voice of thanksgiving. There's a voice of praise from the belly of this big fish. Realizing this big fish may just have saved his life. And he makes a promise or a vow to God to obey what the Lord would have him to do. Now listen, how many of us are guilty of promising God that we're going to do something if he does something and then we never do it? You better be careful. You better be very careful. I'm going to testify a little bit here. I had a little moment. I had a Jonah moment. And in my Jonah days when I was running from God, I thought the world and all that it could throw at me was wonderful. I tried alcohol one time. Not one time, more than one time. But one time I tried alcohol to the point that I did not feel very good. And around a toilet in a bathroom, I told God, if you make me feel better, I will never touch it again. 25 years later, I haven't touched it. I hate the smell of it because it reminds me that I ran. When you make a vow to God, you better keep it. My vow was, God, if you make me feel better, I will quit running and I will surrender. Oh, what a ride. Because it has not been all smooth sailing. But here's the reality. Jeffrey was a Jonah too. I ran. I wanted the world. I didn't want to follow God. But when you make a vow, you make a promise, you better follow through with it. And I will go on record to say this. I do not like alcohol beverages. If you invite me out to eat, if we go somewhere, please, that's where I stand. And I need to make that known. Because I will get up and leave because I can't stand it. Because it reminds me of where I was. I made a vow, and I will keep it until I die. I will never touch it again. What have you promised God? What have you told God? God, I will do this, but maybe you haven't. What we see now is a point of turning. And Jonah has made this vow. He has made a promise to God to obey what the Lord would have him to do. And here's how he ends these verses. In verse number 9, he says this, "As I make this vow, salvation is of the Lord." What a statement. Because guess what? God is fixing, not, I don't think, to save him for the first time, but to spare his life. But that is the banner in which he has to raise as he will march to Nineveh. Salvation is from the Lord. And that's what God was trying to get him to tell anyway. That's all he had to do. He had to go speak that message to Nineveh, and God would have, it would have been an easy road. But here in the depths of a belly, on his deathbed, God gets out of him the message that he needed to hear from the first go. Salvation is from God. Tim Keller writes this: "Grace teaches us when we are that we are more sinful than we ever imagined, but more loved than we ever dared to hope." I'm going to say that one more time. Grace teaches us we are more sinful than we ever imagined, but more loved than we ever dared to hope. I believe as he declares salvation is from the Lord, it is a personal, passionate declaration, a message that would lead his life and would be given to the lives of others. And you see a heart turning to the Lord. Chapter number 1, verse number 12, you see a start of that when he says, "Toss me overboard." I believe that's the start of the turning to God. But I believe right now, in the belly of the fish, at his lowest moment, darkest moment, this is the moment that he truly turns to God. One more verse. Look at verse number 10. "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Point number 4 tonight is this: there is a point of grace. There's a point of grace. Another instance of God speaking and it happening. I want you to notice that. God talked to a fish. And listen, if a fish will obey God, shouldn't human beings obey God? This fish, as God speaks and hears his voice, he spits Jonah right out of his mouth. Now, I want you to know God appointed that fish to swallow Jonah, and he speaks to the fish to set him free. How much more does he love us? How much more does God love you and I? Jonah now, right now, as we end chapter 2, Jonah is back in God's will. Right? He's on dry land. He's back where he needs to be. He has come to the Lord. He's changed. He has the message, salvation is of the Lord. That is the message that he needed before Nineveh could get it. And he knows that. I want you to know, as we end, verse number 10, that big fish didn't spit Jonah out until he came before God in repentance and said, God, I'm sorry. One commentator writes this. Listen closely, and this is the end of our message. Listen closely. In many believers today, there is a work of God or an aspect of his deliverance that will remain undone as long as the believer resists him and refuses to trust God. Can I put that in my terms? You will never be happy if you keep running from Jesus. And some of you will go through storms and continue to fight storms and continue to go through battles until you surrender to what he wants you to do. And there are some good Christian people that choose to live miserable lives just because they don't want to do what God wants them to do. But the reality is this. Why not just surrender? I don't know if you, through two chapters, I'm like, Jonah, if you just would have went to Nineveh, it would have been much easier. You've already said what God needed you to say. Why don't you just go do it to the people that he asked you to do it to instead of out of the whale's belly? Chapter 2 gives us so many lessons. We need to pray. Men and women of God, we need to be people of prayer, knowing that God will not forsake and he will hear our prayers. You need to reflect on what you have done wrong in the eyes of God, repent and seek his grace. And here is my last words. The pit is not the final destination. God can deliver. And God will, if you will turn to him. Tonight, what do you need to do in order to surrender your life to the Lord? Jonah is on shore. The Bible says in verse number 10, he's on dry land. What a miracle. Now we get to see Jonah again. He's in God's will. Let's see how long he stays there. You got to come back next week to get the rest of the story. Chapter number 3, next week, you can read ahead. I pray that you do. Pray over it as God leads us together.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.